Lori here, and welcome to the Awakening Moments podcast. Grab a cup of tea and let's spend some time together. My co-host Rhonda and I are ordained ministers working together at Life Center Church. We are leaders, wives, moms, and longtime friends. In this podcast, we hope to share some meaningful moments from our lives, everything from lessons we've learned the hard way or how to rise up in the midst of obstacles and insecurities. We will encourage you to take risks and remind you that you are deeply loved and completely worthy. Let's awaken life's most amazing moments together. In today's podcast, we're going to be hearing from Deborah Cuoco and Adine Tepper as they unpack a single perspective, flourishing in God in every part of your life. This podcast will provide insight into trusting God through a season of singleness. If you're single or know someone who is, this podcast is for you. Deborah Cuoco was born in St. John's, Newfoundland, where she was raised in a Christian family. She gave her life to Christ at 4 years old, attended church with her family, and was very active in her local church, attending Sunday school and youth group, and eventually becoming a youth and Bible study leader. Deborah is a negotiator at the Northern Affairs, and she is also a part-time aerobics instructor at Good Life Fitness. Nadine's passion is about growing in her walk with Jesus, encouraging others to do the same, and being used by God to make a difference in the lives of those around her. She is from a Christian family and grew up in the GTA. Nadine decided to follow Christ at the age of 6, and during her younger years, she traveled in her family's music ministry. Nadine is a lawyer with the government and still enjoys combining volunteering and ministry with some of her travels. This was one of the workshops at the Heart Conference 2019, and we hope you enjoy this podcast from these amazing women and allow God to awaken trust in your life.
Awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Deborah. From one Deborah to another Deborah. The hosts are doing such an amazing job this weekend with all of the workshops, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, so thank you. We really appreciate it. My name is Deborah. This is my friend Nadine. We have been friends for about 11 years, so we've known each other for a little while, and we are super excited to be with you here today and talk about something that doesn't always get a lot of visibility in church circles, so we're really happy that that we get to do that, and we have lots to say, so we are going to dive right in. Nadine, take it away.
All right. So we structured this workshop around Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. It's on your handouts, and we just have some lines there. Oh, I'm not on. Hello?
There's the power. There's the power.
Okay. So yes, you have Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 on your handout there, and some lines if you want to take notes. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So we've broken down the verse into the five sections and applied it to our season of singleness. At the outset, we just want to be clear on the perspective from which we're sharing with you today. So we're both unmarried, we don't have any children, and we're both in our 30s. For us, trusting and continuing to learn how to trust God in this season is part of our life and part of our journey. And trusting God, though, is part of everyone's journey, arguably. So whether you're single or not, we hope that everyone will glean something from this. So the first part, trust in the Lord. You know, I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home. I became a Christian at a young age, and I've been serving the Lord ever since. And in that sense, there's a starting point of this macro trust, trusting God with my salvation, with my future generally, and just with my whole life. And for me, that has been an important part of my life because it's a foundation that I can build upon and also fall back on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of like Nadine. I was born and raised in St. John's, Newfoundland, right out on the East Coast. And I was born to loving Christian parents who took us to church from a young age, me and my brother and my sister, and grew up in a loving church family. It was such an amazing blessing to have that foundation that that Nadine really spoke about. I learned at a very young age about the character of God, that he is trustworthy, he is faithful, he is steadfast. Like, those things were really ingrained in me growing up. And I had no trouble believing them. It was really easy for me to believe that's who God was, not only because I was getting a lot of messaging, but I saw examples of it in my life. My parents had both moved from West Africa to Canada in their early 20s, and they would, you know, constantly proclaim and witness to the faithfulness and the goodness and the trustworthiness of God on that journey. I mean, even as a young kid, and this is a little bit of a, you know, kind of, I misplaced a lot of things as a child, let's say. And I knew that if I prayed to God and I listened for his voice, that he would show me where these things were. And without fail, he always did. And I think that built the trust in me. I remember going to, I was going to church when they had hymns, as did Nadine. And one hymn that we used to sing all the time was "Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And I just knew that. I just knew that was what you had to do to follow God, was that you would trust him, and then you listen for his voice, and you'd obey what he said. And I think that, like, that's kind of like a little detailed trust, but that's where I was learning the character of who God was and what trust really was.
Mm-hmm. And trusting God for those specific things in life is like that micro trust, right? Trusting him for marriage. And as part of my trust for the future, I was trusting that over a decade ago, I'd be married and have a family of my own. And it was for me, not until kind of that specific area of my life just continually became unmet, that it began unpacking trust at a deeper level. And I say that in the sense of it actually led me to questioning whether or not I was trusting the Lord. Sometimes I felt that way because I felt like I was trusting him, but then repeatedly circumstances wouldn't turn out the way that I'd hoped. But the truth is that it's not based on our circumstances. We trust God because of who he is, and sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that. The other thing, I don't know where this came from, but I placed this expectation on myself that if I was truly trusting God, I wouldn't feel a certain way about my situation. I wouldn't be sad or frustrated or angry or disappointed. But what I learned is that just because I might feel a certain way, that doesn't automatically mean I'm not trusting God. But it's important to actually process those emotions with the Lord. And this kind of takes us nicely into the next part of our verse, which is, with all your heart. Our hearts are very important, and there are numerous verses in the Bible on the heart. For example, another one, Proverbs 4:23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." I think often when we have a desire of our hearts that isn't met, or there's some pain linked to it along the way, we're faced with disappointment, and sometimes unforgiveness or bitterness can take root. And that can negatively affect us, our relationships with other people, and also with the Lord. And as we already heard during the conference, it's important to acknowledge those hurts and to also deal with them. You know, rather than just making light of them or acting as if they're not there. And I think, I don't know why, sometimes we can do this, we can play a game of comparison with our pain, and we just kind of dismiss it, saying, well, it's not that bad, because compared to this situation, my situation is not that bad. So along the way, I've had to acknowledge that I've been hurt by guys who've either broken up with me, or in my opinion, haven't treated me the way that I think they should have. But I've actually also had to recognize that I've been mad at God sometimes, because if he's my provider, then what's going on? And how can I trust who I thought he was when I've been so let down in this area of my life? I found that the best remedy has been to go through a process of forgiveness. And this has looked different at different times. And it's not an easy process, but it's definitely worth it. And through that process, we can allow God to heal our hearts from those hurts and those disappointments, and to also rebuild that trust and understanding of who he is despite the circumstance.
Yeah, and I think my testimony fits very nicely in with what Nadine was saying. Like, I know despite I had this great foundation of who God was, I knew that he was trustworthy, I knew that was his character, and I trusted him with a life partner. I just assumed that, you know, you grow up, you meet people, and you get married, you have kids. That's just how it goes. And I trusted that if that's what I wanted and that was the desire of my heart, that God would give that to me. I knew I wanted to be married with kids at a very young age. And I was very serious about dating. I did not date in high school just for fun. I was literally like, are you husband material? Nope, next. Are you husband material? Like, I scanned you up and down. Because I knew that my dream was to get married. It was not to just meet new people and have fun experiences, which is great if that's your approach to dating. But mine was very much marriage focused. Yeah, exactly. And in second year university, I met the absolute love of my life. He was so attractive, and he was fun and funny, and he got along well with my parents and my family. We had a really great relationship. We loved very deeply, and we decided we were going to get married. So perfect. I had found my life partner. I was so excited about that. And I had kind of moved for school. He had moved for school and work, and I found myself in Ottawa, and he came to visit me in Ottawa. We were like, had hired a wedding planner. We were going to like get everything rolling to get this wedding thing happening. And he told me he had cheated on me, and he had cheated on me with two women. and one of them still thought they were his girlfriend. And I was devastated, like beyond devastated. I just figured, you know what, I'm trusting God, I'm putting my hope and faith in him. This situation all seemed very right, and then I fell off a cliff. I just really did not know what to do. Like in that exercise that we did before the lunch break, like I circled that I had been cheated on, and it is incredibly painful, because then my response, which you would think after having such a great foundation in who God is, it's, oh, I'm going to run to Jesus. He's so awesome. I'm going to run to him. He is awesome, but that was not my first reaction. My first reaction was like, what? Like, you said you were trustworthy. You said you were all of these things, and now I have proof from my perspective that I thought, this shows me that you're not. Like, who are you? Like, I really went on a journey of, like, who is God in my life? And it really kind of shattered my worldview and a little bit of my perspective on not just on men, because that's, you know, my first place was like, I hate all men and they're all, you know, cheaters and losers. And then it was like, which is not the case. I have moved past that. But that was my initial reaction. But then it was like, God, who are you? Like, if I can't see tangible evidence of you, who are you in my life? And so that was definitely, I was in a bit of a dark place, I would say, for a while. I call it a bit of the fog that I was living in. But throughout the fog, I continued to go to church. I continued to surround myself with Christian friends. Nadine actually came into my life 2 months before I found out I'd been cheated on by my ex-boyfriend. And at the time, I didn't know, but she called me up out of the blue, and she said, Deborah, would you like to start a Bible study with me? I had maybe met her once, and I was like, I don't know who this person is.
It
like
seemed very logical to me.
In my mind, I was on the phone like, who is this? I was like, okay, sure, I'll do that. So we ended up, like, I had great community of people around me. I was attending Life Center at the time, continued to come out, and I noticed God doing work in my heart, and it was a work of forgiveness, like Nadine was just talking about. And it was not just forgiving my ex. It was not just forgiving the situation of, like, your hopes and dreams going away. But it was forgiving God, because I was so angry at him for not giving me what I wanted and what was the desire of my heart that I had to go through that process of forgiving him as well. And, you know, it's painful, and it's not easy at all to do that. I firmly, you know, I have a lot of sympathy for people who are on that journey of, you know, learning to forgive, learning to trust God again. But he was absolutely there with me. Like, I think that, you know, I'm constantly reminded of the fact that, like, God is close to the brokenhearted. That's in Psalm 34:18. And I clung to that verse when I was brokenhearted. And this wasn't just, you know, a week, a month of being brokenhearted. This was like a couple of years for me of really going on that journey. You know, verse in Isaiah 43:2 that says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. I firmly believe that those were deep waters for me. Like, everybody's deep waters look different. And, you know, I imagine, I can say for myself, and I can imagine for maybe some people in the room, this can be your deep waters. And God is with you in the midst of that. Yeah, so then I found myself, I went and I met with him, my ex, and I told him I forgave him, and I did in that moment, but it was a continual process for me of daily saying that, not to my ex, to God, to the situation, that it's okay if it didn't work out the way that I wanted it to. Yeah, that forgiveness is there. It's a continual journey. And I think, you know, when I think about that hymn, trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, it's true. You have to trust. You have to obey his word. Like, forgive as I forgave you. That's what he says. And so that's part of the journey that we're called to.
Mm-hmm. And dealing with those negative heart issues is what allows us to be in a healthier place to love. And not just in a romantic sense. You know, we don't want to be so afraid that we put up those unnecessary walls and not be open to anything. It helps us to have the courage to allow ourselves to be vulnerable again and to trust God with the outcome. And not just be vulnerable to be open to a relationship with a man, but also to be vulnerable with God and still bring the request to him. I think sometimes if we've been asking and hoping for something for like a really long time and more time and more time, we can put up a wall and then we'll say, okay, fine, God, like, you're just not answering this, then I'm just not going to ask you anymore. And you know, as much as it sucks to go through this process, and we've been through it a couple times, you know, once you've been through it, there's a bit of a confidence that can come from knowing that you can make it through again if necessary, because we've seen God heal, help us, restore, and so we don't have to fear being vulnerable again or fear being hurt. What I've also found helpful for me, anyways, is to have others in community who are not going through the same situation actually recognize that this can be a difficult journey. Especially for those of us who have never been married and have a desire to be, or maybe who have never dated, that recognition just seems to be rare or somewhat overlooked. I don't know why. It might just be because it's not an obvious situation of having gone through some pain or the loss of something. So to those of you in the room who might find yourself in a similar situation, like, this is tough, and I'm sorry that you're maybe also going through it. Mm-hmm. But just remember that God is with you. He cares about you, and he cares about all the details of your life, including this one. So be encouraged to continue to bring the request to him and bring him into the process. All right, the next part of our verse, lean not on your own understanding. So I'm an analyzer.
As if you didn't already know.
And this is always a great reminder for me, and actually one of the reasons why I love this verse. I like to think of things in a logical manner. So in the past, I thought just with other things, you know, I've asked God, I'm trusting him, therefore the answer should have been already here, and the way I wanted it to be. A plus B equals C. But that has not been the case. And quite frankly, like, it doesn't really make any sense. I mean, sure, we could postulate as to why, or, you know, if we're on the other side of it, and we hear testimonies of this all the time, you know, the timing was perfect, and you can see all the pieces fitting together, but quite frankly, that could have happened by now already. And so sometimes I've looked at the situation, and I've thought, okay, what can I do differently? Or what have I been doing wrong? How can I fix this? You know, sometimes I've thought that way because a relationship didn't work out, or, you know, maybe time is passing and more time is passing and more time is passing and I'm still in a single boat. And yeah, we can take lessons learned or try different things, but to be honest, like, I felt like I've done that in situations to no avail. I am still here in the same situation. And it's not to say that we maybe shouldn't try different things or apply lessons learned, but the bottom line is there's no formula. Like, there is no guaranteed outcome.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, it's easy to think about the formula because that's what our lives have been. Like, Nadine and I both went to school, got an education, worked hard, that equals a good job. Or, you know, reading, even in our faith situation, reading your Bible, praying, serving, being kind and loving to people equals growing in your relationship with God. We live in this formulaic world. And so it makes sense that you would apply it to this. So we're not saying that, you know, oh, it's not a formula, you should not do that. Because it's very challenging to kind of come outside of that world, but instead to put it in the hands of God. And I think when you're single and wanting to be single or wanting to be in a committed relationship, sorry.
Yeah, we don't want to still be single.
No, we do not still want to be single. Let's make that very clear. Yeah, exactly. That was not a Freudian slip. But yeah, you lean on your understanding, but also the understanding of others. Like, people have so much advice for you. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, okay, I hear a few amens.
Unsolicited
advice. I mean, you know, you should get yourself out there more. You should join this club. You should try volunteering. You should raise your standards. You should lower your standards. There's, like, so many different things.
Sign up on the sketchy site.
Yes, you should. Have you tried this new site? You're like, I am on 6 sites. Like, there's not one more that is going to help me. So I feel like there's a lot of advice, and it's easy to get caught up in this game of, am I doing all of the right things? Am I on that right site? Am I in this right place? And that's not God's understanding. That's purely our understanding of how the situation should go. Yeah, and Nadine has mentioned, like, I feel like I have done just about all of the things possible. Like, I even hired, this will be a good one for you, my mother hired a matchmaker for me. And she could not find me someone. The gasps make me feel so much better. Thank you, ladies. So, like, I feel like I've literally tried everything. And it is not a formula. It is not something that we can just do all of the right things and get there. Nadine and I talk about a pendulum, we like to call it, where on one side of the pendulum is being super active. So we're doing all these things. We're out, we're on sites, we're meeting people, we're sitting across the table. As someone tells you about their amateur bodybuilding career for 3 hours, like, you're doing all of it, right? Like, you are there. You are in the dating world. And after a couple months of that, like, not working out, the pendulum slowly swings and it goes to this other side of, you know what, maybe God is calling me to be silent in this moment, be still. And you know what, I think that I'm just going to stay and rest right here, and he's going to bring someone to me. So I'll just, like, have my eye open at the grocery store lines, but I'm not really going to be out doing anything. And it's like the pendulum goes. And then after several months or, you know, however long of that, we're like, you know what, I don't think God is calling me to be still anymore. I think I got to get out there. I got to, like, and the pendulum swings back, and all of a sudden I'm back on the dating side. And I literally, the dean has been very gracious with me, but our conversations sometimes are, you know, I'll be like, ah, you know what, Nadine, I'm done. I'm deleting all the apps from my phone. I'm canceling my subscriptions. And then, like, within 3 months, I'll be like, you know, I really think I'm going to put that back out there. She's like, go for it.
And then
we started joking, like, which end of the pendulum are you on now? And it became kind of this little thing. But there's this swing back and forth of, you know, feeling like you need to be in one section or the other for God to sort of move through you. And I think that's the pendulum of this situation that we're in sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But there's been a bit of the tension for me, because in my analysis of whether or not I've been trusting God, you know, does being active mean I'm trusting God? Because I'm taking those steps of faith. I'm getting out of the boat to see what he's going to do. Or am I actually not trusting him because I might be trying to control my situation and do things to make something happen? So then does being less active actually mean that I'm trusting God more because I'm surrendering the situation to him and just waiting for him to move in my life and not on my behalf? And you know what, being, like, having been all over the place, I think all over the place.
Literally.
I don't think it actually is an either or. I think it might actually come down to the motive of our hearts and the attitudes in what we're deciding to do. And so the key is that we're actually connected to God. So ask him, invite him in. If you feel like he's prompting you to be more active, be more active. If you're connected to him, but maybe you're not hearing specifically on this from him, know that he's with you wherever you go. And just remember, it's not a formula. Maybe what worked, you know, in one season might not make sense in another season.
Mm-hmm. I am in constant conversation with God about this. This is not a unique situation where we don't need God. Like, there is literally no situation where you don't need God. You need him in this just as much. And, you know, in my mind, I've thought through, what does it mean to be leaning on God's understanding? And what does that look like? And I just have some questions kind of as like a litmus test that I ask myself, and you can write them down if you want, and you know, you can use them in your life if you want to ask yourself. But am I praying about my situation? Am I bringing it to God? Because I really think at the front end, you know, God knows your desires, absolutely, but you know, sometimes we need to bring them to him. We need to be asking him to lead and guide us in this space of our life. The second question I have is, am I reading God's word to see what he has already said about my situation? You know, there's not a whole lot of stories of, you know, chapters of the Bible that talk about the single woman in her 30s. Like, that is not a popular Bible verse or Bible story. But there's a lot of situations in the Bible about trusting God, about knowing when he's leading and guiding you. And so looking in there to see what God has already said about something that might be similar or analogous that you can apply to your situation. Am I listening for his voice in all ways? God primarily speaks through his word. We know that. If we read his Bible, that is his word directly to us. But he speaks to us through friends, godly friends. He speaks to us through music. He speaks to us through nature. He speaks to us in a lot of different ways. And it's about us knowing the voice of the shepherd. I absolutely love that when the Gospels talk about it, but knowing the voice of the shepherd and being able to follow him. And that can come in a lot of different ways. And this, I think, way is no different. You want to be able to hear his voice and be able to follow it, back to that kind of trust and obey. Is there fruit of my action? I think knowing if we're leaning on God's understanding is the fruit of what we are doing. Is it love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control? Are those things the fruit of our actions? And I have been in situations where, yeah, I've sat across the table from some really boring guy telling me about his life, but I've had an opportunity to really share my faith with him because my faith is important to me. And I could tell you many times that I've, you know, whether it's online or it's in person, that I've had the opportunity to share my faith, and I've walked away not really feeling the dude, but no, feeling like, oh gosh, like I got an opportunity to share my faith with somebody, and who knows where that will go. So I had a very good feeling after it, which kind of leads me to feel like there was good fruit from it. Is God glorified? I mean, in what you're doing? Are others being drawn closer to him? And these are not just questions for if you're leaning on your own understanding for God in singleness, but just in your life in general. I think they're really good. Often these are things I ask myself when I'm deciding what to do to ensure I'm not leaning on my own understanding, but I'm taking it outside of myself and trying to lean on God's understanding more.
Mm-hmm. And this segues nicely into the next part of our verse. In all your ways, acknowledge him, right? Be connected to him, whether you're being more active or less active. This means seek God's will in the direction you're going, the course of action you're taking, in the process, with your plans. Another opportunity to do this is to draw close to God in the day-to-day. We'll call it the interesting thing, but it's also kind of mean. But for whatever reason, when we're in that gap or facing that gap, we're stuck here, but we want to be over there. There can be things that come along in life that just highlight that gap and make it feel so much bigger. You know, things can be going great. We're having fun with our friends, with our jobs going well, we're traveling. And then out of the blue, something can happen and just remind us that we're not exactly where we hope to be. For example, you know, somebody asking you, do you have kids? And all you can think is, I'm not even close. Or somebody asking you, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And time flies, and you remember 5 years ago not thinking you'd still be here 5 years later. You can't imagine what 5 years next are going to bring. Having friends who are your age move on to different stages of life, and you're still stuck where you are. People might have different triggers, and I think often it's linked to kind of the state of our own hearts and emotions at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, the in all your ways acknowledge him is about acknowledging God in those small moments as well as the big moments. Like, acknowledge to God that absolutely you want a life partner and you want to be married and you want a family, but acknowledging him in those small moments as well. Like, when I tell him about my desire to be a wife and a mother, I'm acknowledging God in that moment. When I come home to an empty apartment after I've had a really terrible day, or maybe I've had a promotion, it's been an amazing day, and I'm still opening the door to an empty apartment and leftovers in the fridge, and I'm just reminded that I'm alone. I acknowledge God right in that moment. And it's not like, oh, you know, I haven't been feeling lonely for a long time. No, right when I feel that emotion, I acknowledge God. You know, when another friend is getting married and, you know, announcing her third baby on Facebook, and you're like, yes, I like it. Like, I do like it. I am happy for them. But it's another, some days, and just like the dean said, the triggers can be different. Some days for me, I am so happy for that person. I'm like, oh my gosh, I know they wanted this. Da, 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 da. I'm so happy for them. And then some days I could hit it and the tears could stream down my face. And I don't even know when it's going to hit me sometimes. But I know that in that moment, I have to acknowledge God. Like, just this past year, I'll tell you, be very vulnerable in this moment, that I picked up chocolates on February 15th. I was like, this is great. They're on sale. I love them. Lindt chocolate's my favorite. I'm going to pick them up. Picked them up. I was in a great mood. I took them home. I had a love. I made dinner. I love to cook. Made my dinner. I was like, you know, I'm going to pull the chocolates. It's going to be a perfect little, you know, addition to my meal. I pull out the chocolates. And it just hit me in that moment that I was buying myself discount chocolates for Valentine's Day for, like, literally the fifth Valentine's Day in a row. And I just could not control my emotions. And it wasn't that I had been in a terrible mood. I wasn't feeling lonely for weeks. It was just in that moment that trigger happened. And I was like, and I remember in that moment thinking, and I knew I was doing this talk as well, I was like, I have to acknowledge God. I have to acknowledge God in this moment that I know that he is with me. And I'm not, when I say acknowledge God, I'm not saying you diminish your emotions or your feelings, because those are absolutely important and they make us who we are. And I think that God has made us this way, so he knows that's who we are. But I think we have to bring those to him, and we have to give them to him so they don't root in our life in a way that is unhealthy. Like, we don't want to be bitter. We don't want to be jaded about our situation. We want to be able to give it to God so that he can heal us in that situation, take our hurt and turn it into healing. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Are you talking about looking up to the hills?
I do want to talk about looking up to the hills. Where does my help come from? You know, I think sometimes when we're in the situations in our life in those valleys, and that's why I really like that verse about looking up to the hills, because we're so in the situation right here. Like, we just have to look up. We just have to look up, like, turn our eyes up. And it doesn't matter, you know, I think sometimes this topic gets trivialized a little bit, like, oh, we're looking for a man, and oh, like, da, da, da. No, like, it's really tough, and you're in this moment, and your head is down, and you're figuring it out, and you're trying to deal with it, but sometimes we just have to lift our eyes up. Lift our eyes up to the hills. That's where God is, the maker of heaven and earth, and he cares about you, and he cares about your situation, and exactly where you are, and exactly what you're going through, and we just have to acknowledge him in that moment, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another thing we can do is take those thoughts captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And what do? We can replace those thoughts with better thoughts. Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If we're doing that, there's, like, not much time to think about anything else.
That's true.
There's a lot of stuff. I mean, we have a choice. We can catastrophize and go down the pity party spiral, or we can take advantage of those tools. Look up, take the thoughts captive, replace them with something better, and remind ourselves, you know what? If God did this for somebody else, he can do it for me too.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not an easy practice, but I think we just need to keep practicing it and reminding ourselves of doing that.
Yeah, I was in. I went to Israel last October with the church, and it was a phenomenal experience. And we went to this place. We're in Magdala, which is where Mary Magdalene was from, and there was a church there that was dedicated to women, which I thought was fantastic because most churches are named after men. And there was a church that was dedicated to women, and in the basement of that church, they had this beautiful photograph, and it was of the woman who touched the hem of Jesus's garment. So it's all these feet and this beautiful hand coming up and touching it. And the story's in Matthew 9, verse 20, if you want to look that up. But essentially what the story is there's this woman who has had an issue of blood for 12 years. And first of all, I love 12 years because I've been single for 11 and I'm like, doesn't matter. There's more. But it's 12 years that she's been suffering with this. And she believes if she can just get to Jesus, she can be healed. Jesus, you know, on the other hand, is on his way to a gentleman named Jairus' house because his daughter, who's also 12, is sick and is dying. And Jairus feels the same thing. If I can just get Jesus to my daughter, she's going to be healed. So they have these two people who are both in situations that they've had for 12 years, and they're both coming to Jesus. Jesus is in a crowd of people at this point, and they're all rushing and trying to, you know, follow him to see this miracle that he's going to do at Jairus' house. In the midst of that, the woman touches the hem of his garment. Jesus notices that the power has left him. And he says, who touched me? Now, he's in a crowd. You're like, who touched you? Like, people must have been like, everybody touched you. Like, I don't know who you're asking about. But this woman comes forward, and she's like, it was me. And she tells her story. Jesus allows her space to tell her story. And that's so powerful to me because in that moment, Jairus, who's still waiting on his miracle, is hearing this woman 12 years suffering with something. And Jesus healed her in that instant. And to me, I think our situations that we go through, no matter how long, they impact not just us, because that woman gets her healing, which is absolutely an incredible, incredible miracle. And I wish, you know, if whoever is here that wants to be, you know, in a married relationship with children or whatever it is, and you want to be out of your single situation, you know, I wish that miracle for you, that you get that. But sometimes we have to watch other people get their miracle. And so I think just as much as that woman's miracle was for her, it was for Jairus. For Jairus to see that God can do this, that it is within his power and his capability to do that. And Jairus didn't even realize he was getting something better than a healing. He went to Jesus asking for his daughter to be healed. He ended up getting a resurrection. But he didn't know that at that moment because someone comes to him and says, hey, your daughter, like, she died. And you are just like, you know, I can imagine off your cliff, like, all I needed was Jesus to get there. And this woman slows me down. And now my daughter is dead. And he gets there and he raises her from the dead. He says, no, she's sleeping. Up she rises and she's up from the dead. She gets a resurrection. She gets something even more powerful than what the woman got. So it's not just for us. Sometimes what we go through is also for people around us.
Mm-hmm. Another component to the verse is the word all. In all your ways. Not just you as a single person. Life is so much bigger than whether or not you're married with children by a particular time. God has a plan and a purpose for you in this season. So live a life to serve him no matter where you're at. Mm-hmm. And I love what Pastor Rhonda was sharing today. Like, find out your purpose and carry that out. If you're ever floundering in your purpose, there's the Great Commission. Look it up, Matthew 28. And have eternity stamped on your eyes. Like Deb said, look up. Mm-hmm. The next part, and he will direct your paths. There's an and, so it links to the first part, where we've been acknowledging God and seeking his will in every aspect. We can rest knowing that ultimately he will guide us. I mean, that does not mean, I hate to break it to you, but the outcome and the path may not be what you thought. You're going to have to let that go sometimes, and sometimes even mourn it. But in the process of learning to trust God and getting to know his character, we can know that he is trustworthy. He's your provider. He's your healer. He loves you. He's your rock, savior, fortress, deliverer. We can take refuge in him. He's a loving father who gives good gifts to his children. He can do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. And on the pendulum of life where we're swinging back and forth, he's like that source of balance that brings us back to an equilibrium. And so on the basis of who he is, despite the long waiting, despite the circumstances, despite the disappointment, despite not understanding why, we can still praise him because of who he is, and we can trust him with our future.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the end of this verse so much. And he will direct your paths. It's not like it's a, maybe your paths will be directed, maybe not. Oh, this is one of the promises of God's word. And if there's nothing else we can stand on, it's the promises of his word. And I love that so much. He will do this. And because he is faithful, because he is steadfast, because he was trustworthy, you know, he's the same God that was with me when I was misplacing my stuff as a little girl in St. John's, Newfoundland. He is the same God today that, you know, as a 36-year-old woman in Life Center looking for something, still looking for something. He's the same God that today as he was yesterday, and he will be the same God. And I think relying on who he is so important. He has not changed. He absolutely, I can trust him with my future. I can trust him with my future husband, my future family, and he will direct that path. Might not look the way I want it to look. It certainly won't, because I would not be here right now if I was directing my path. But with him directing it, he's going to bring me somewhere. He's going to bring me where I should be with him. Mm-hmm. I think the other part that Nadine and I wanted to chat about is trusting God to move in someone else's life. So if you're here and maybe, you know, you're like a mother, a grandmother, an aunt, if there's someone else in your life who is in a season of singleness and you're just wondering, how do I support them in the midst of that? We just kind of wanted to have a few words about that. You know, it's hard in a season of singleness, I think, if you're on the other side. I don't really know what the other side is like, but I can imagine it's difficult. The first thing I always say is pray. Pray for that person who is in a season of singleness right now. As Nadine mentioned, being single is not easy. Taking care of everything in your life is not easy. So pray. Pray for them. Bring it to God right away.
Yeah, and there have been times, you know, I've been so sick of my situation that I don't even want to pray about it anymore. But one of the things that I found helpful is to have others in the church community come alongside me and either pray for me or with me. And some of them have done it on a daily basis, and I can't quite describe just what a blessing that is and how meaningful it is to know that they're just lifting me up and standing in that gap for me. So if you know someone who's single, like Deb said, number one thing, pray for them. And if you're not sure what to pray, remember it's so much more than a request for a spouse, for the right spouse. You know, there's a lot that we can be navigating on a daily basis. Just the reality of doing life alone at an age that you never thought you'd have to. You know, figuring out our finances or purchasing cars or houses when we never envisioned doing that alone. Or being hurt and needing to go through a process of forgiveness. Most importantly, you can pray that in the midst of the disappointment, we would continue to grow in our walk with the Lord and have our hope and confidence built on Him and to be used by Him to fulfill all the purposes He has for our life.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the second thing that I would say, if you're supporting somebody else in your life who has a season of singleness, is don't offer advice unless it's sought out. I think let them direct the conversation. If they, you know, some people may want all of your advice, and let them figure that out if that's the case. Sometimes they just want somebody who's going to listen to them and sympathize with them and show some empathy with them and, you know, and be that for them too. Like, just sit and listen. Don't offer it unless they have asked for it. I think the only way to know, because I go back and forth, I can be a strong, confident, happy to be where I am right now, single gal, and the next moment I could be crumbling in tears and feeling lonely. Like, I don't even know when it's going to go back and forth. And so the only person who does know is God. So if you're in the conversation and somebody who's in a season of singleness brings it up, pray throughout it. Pray throughout the conversation for the words to say that's going to minister and speak to them in that moment. I think third, it's okay, you know, if someone is in a season of singleness and they don't want to participate in what I call the activities around socially constructed womanhood. These are like the baby showers and the bachelorette parties and the wedding showers, first birthdays, all that jazz that women are like expected to go to. And they're lovely. And I don't diminish the value of them in society and in our lives. They're lovely places for women to connect. But they can be very difficult for someone who's single. I know I have left many a baby shower in tears. I have left many a situation like that where I feel I have to go, but my heart is so hurt and so broken that it's very painful. And that's not everybody. Like, Nadine and I have talked about this, and Nadine's, you know, she doesn't really care. She'll go. Okay. But it's really difficult for me to go. And it's okay to give yourself permission not to go to those things. Send a lovely note, say you're thinking and praying about them, and, you know, you support them, but I just can't show up to your, you know, 3-hour baby shower brunch today. I can't do it. So, like, it is okay if you want to give yourself an out in that way. And I think in the midst, if you're someone who has the party in the event, just say, hey, yeah, that's cool. Like, let me know if there's anything I can do for you, and pray for them. Comes back to praying for them. Bring it to God. I think lastly, just before we close off here, we have just two more things we want to do. One thing is that I want to say, you know, I have been in church my entire life, and I have never sat in your seats. I have never heard somebody speak about the season of singleness from a Christian perspective. So I just want to say this kind of what I wish someone had said to me. Take courage. He is in the waiting. God is absolutely in your waiting season. When you are in this gap, God is absolutely there. You belong in God's family right now. You are not. You don't belong in his family once you're married with kids. You belong in it right now. You can contribute to God's family right where you are. You do not need to be in a particular space to contribute to it. You can do that. God can and will and is using you right now in his kingdom. You do not need to wait for anything. He is absolutely right there. You are valued in exactly this season of your life. This is not by mistake. This is not by accident. This is not because you didn't do all the right things. God is absolutely in the midst of what he says. And despite what the world says, like, you belong. You belong in God's family. It doesn't matter. You belong right here. I've learned not to put my life on hold. That's the one thing. Live your life. Like, develop skills. Travel. Like, meet great, amazing people. Do all of those things. And stay connected to God. The only way we get through this season is by staying connected to God. Find a Christian community. Find a Christian friend you can be authentic and honest with. Find a Nadine in your life.
Who'll randomly invite you to Bible study.
Yeah, who'll do random things. But it's totally there to support you, which is amazing. We did have one last thing we wanted to say before we kind of do a little prayer. Nadine and I really love music, both of us, and there has been music that has supported us through this season that I put together just like a Spotify, we both put together a Spotify playlist of just sort of like our songs that, like, I mean, like, Take Courage from Bethel is one of my favorites, like, you know, He's in the Waiting, or like Lazarus, like, He came, like, He will come into your situation and raise whatever's dead in your life from the grave. So anyway, we just have a bunch of songs, Great is Thy Faithfulness, all the goodies that we love. And I will put it on Instagram, Facebook, Heart Conference. So if you search hashtag HEARTCONF2019, you'll be able to find it. And yeah, we'll make sure that we share it with you guys.
Yeah, the other thing is we don't have a lot of time after this because the next workshops are happening, but Deb and I are going to make ourselves available in the prayer room after the next workshop. So if you have questions or want to chat with us further, or want more specific prayer in this area, please come. And also, yeah, if you see us around the building or on Sundays, I attend this campus, Deb's at the Kanata campus, feel free to pull us aside. But just before we close, we want to take the opportunity to pray here as well. So if you could just bow your heads and close your eyes, we just take a moment to reflect. You know, maybe some of you were in the room and when you heard us talking about having a macro trust in the Lord, you know, trusting him with our salvation and having him as a foundation, and that just kind of gives us that ultimate purpose and hope for a future. Maybe you realize you don't have that. You know, we mentioned having the gap in our life, being stuck where we are, and there's this gap to where we hope to be. But the bigger gap is that it has been filled through what Christ has done, that we can stand justified before God. And that's the bigger gap that we actually need filled in our lives. And so if you've never made that decision, I know Lori threw that out yesterday as an invitation, but we just want to do it again. If there's anyone in the room who feels like they want to make that decision, if you could just raise your hands quickly. Or maybe you've been here and you've made that decision a long time ago and you just feel like, you know what, I've gotten off the path a bit. I've been so consumed by my circumstances. I just want to come back and make that decision. All right, I'm just going to lead us in a prayer for everyone who can repeat after. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me just the way I am.
Thank you for loving me just the way I am.
Yet loving me enough not to leave me the way I am.
Yet loving me enough not to leave me the way I am.
Love me.
Love me.
Lead me.
Lead me.
And make me more like you.
And make me more like you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. If you can just keep your eyes closed still, we just have a couple more questions we want to pray about. When we were talking about having our hearts maybe hurt, you'd have to say that you want to acknowledge that you have some unresolved hurts, especially in this area, maybe unforgiveness or bitterness festering, and you want to make a decision to deal with those issues so that you can love and trust God from a healthier heart. If that's you, can you quickly raise your hand? Thank you. And if you're here today and it is a desire of your heart to be married and have a family of your own, and you'd like to ask God, maybe for the upteenth time, to provide you with a spouse, would you raise your hand? Yeah, lots of us.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these wonderful, beautiful, brave women sitting in front of Nadine and I, God. Today, I stand in the gap for them, and I ask you for the desires of their hearts, God, and the desires of my heart and the desire of Nadine's heart, God. I pray that you will bring a spouse into their life, someone who loves you, someone who loves them, someone who's going to draw them closer to you, God, someone who's going to be a lifelong partner for them. Father, I know that you tell us to come and bring our requests to you, God, and to ask for things from you, God. And so today we ask for a spouse, for everybody who raised their hand that is a desire of their heart. We ask for that, God. We ask for love in their lives. We ask for openness, God. And we also pray that you will lead and direct them to the right person, Father, that they will, all of their actions, God, that they will give to you from the day they wake up, the time they wake up to the time they go to bed. And God, that you will direct them to where it is that you would have them to meet the people that are going to be in their life, Father. I just pray that you will shower them with love, God, in this season of waiting, that they will know it is not wasted time, God, but that's intentional time to draw you closer to them, Father. And I pray that you will bring a spouse into their lives in your name.
Mm-hmm. I thank you, Father, that we can come to you in our brokenness with the pieces of our hurt hearts. Your word says that you are close to the brokenhearted, and so I ask for those in the room who feel hurt and broken, they would sense your closeness in a supernatural way. Mm-hmm. I thank you for their courage to acknowledge their hurt, maybe where they've been holding on to an offense. I thank you that in this moment they are taking a step of obedience to forgive as your word instructs. Lord, I thank you that we can be reminded of the fact that you have forgiven us in our undeserving state, and therefore we can extend forgiveness to others. I ask that you would meet these ladies in this place and do the supernatural to help them forgive. And even if negative feelings pop up later, that they would recall, no, I decided to forgive in this moment, this day, and give them the strength to walk that out. Where anger or bitterness has crept in toward you or others, today we say no more. Lord, we are sorry. Thank you that you are a healer. Replace any pain, anger, bitterness, discouragement in our hearts with renewed hope and joy. Where unhealthy walls and hearts of stone have been set up in an attempt to guard ourselves from being hurt, may those walls come crumbling down and let us be malleable to the work you want to do in and through our lives. Help us guard our hearts in a healthy manner and love as you intended. Let there be a divine exchange today. Take those ashes and make something beautiful. Give the oil of joy instead of mourning and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair so that we can be planted for your glory. Lord, we are so thankful for your love and grace. God, make us more fully reflect your glory in every aspect of our lives. Help all of us to continue to grow in our walk with you and to know you more each day. Help us to not lean on our own understanding, but to trust you with our hearts, to fix our eyes on you and acknowledge you in all our ways. We praise you and we thank you that you will direct our paths. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for spending this time with
us. Thank you.
We thoroughly enjoyed it. Yes, give yourselves a hand too.
Thank you for listening to the Awakening Moments podcast today. Like or subscribe to our podcast and share it with your friends. Follow us on Instagram at Lori Eitz Boucher and Rhonda.Corto. May you be awakened to the moments that matter the most.